Today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
So we're living in this post-Christian society that is blinded to the gospel truth, the glorious light of God by His Spirit that will open eyes to truth. And as our Bible has to be involved as we pray, and our Bible has to be involved as part of that equipment, not only protect us from error, but also our Bible has to be the sword of the Spirit so we can use it offensively as well as defensively.
The Bible is your sword, your weapon in the spiritual battle. But are you using it? Today, Jill Briscoe shares the second part of her message, Chariots of Fire, and she begins in just a moment. When you pray, do you feel like it's productive, or is it something you do just to go through the motions? God wants to communicate with you, for you to know Him intimately. And a big part of how that happens is through prayer. In her book, Prayer That Works, Jill Briscoe shows you biblical concepts that will create in you a passion for prayer and for God, helping you to open your life to be changed by Him. And this month, when you get to help Telling the Truth stay on the air and online, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the book, Prayer That Works. Call today and request it. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. And remember, if it's easier, you can also give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now with the second part of our message, Chariots of Fire, here's Jill Briscoe.
Now, what do we have to do to get our eyes opened? Open her eyes. That's what Jesus is praying. You know, Jesus is praying for us. I told you that. What is He praying for us? Have you ever wondered? I get a little worried, actually, when I try and figure out what He's praying for us. You can figure it out if you go into John 17, because He was praying for us then. He's praying things like, don't take them out of the world. Just keep them there. Just keep them from the evil one. Just keep them internally safe. He never promises to keep us externally safe. But He does promise always and ever, eternally, to keep us internally safe. The peace of God is going to garrison our heart and mind, whatever happens to our bodies. The peace of God will garrison, the word is, put little spiritual soldiers around our heart and mind in the middle of things that happen to us. And we need our eyes open to that. What do we need to see? Well, Ephesians says, Paul praying for people, open the eyes of their hearts, that they may know the hope to which we've been called, that we may understand our inheritance as Christians, and that we may know the incomparable power of the one that we trust in. What sort of power? The power that raised Him from the dead. And Paul says, the power I'm talking about that's available to you to fight the battles of life is the power that raised Christ from the dead. That sort of power. That's part of your inheritance as a Christian, given to you by the Spirit when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the power of God. Incredible. Now, when our eyes are open to that, we're ready to do battle with the enemy. Now, the counterpart of this is that people are blinded to this. There is so much ignorance. Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, and they're both falling into ditches. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Look at all these soldiers. They had their eyes blinded to the truth. This was Elisha. They were blinded. In that sense, God worked the miracle. But the devil works the miracle of blinding the minds of people that don't believe, so that they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe He's the only way. They believe He's one way. There is so much confusion. So we're living in this post-Christian society that is blinded to the gospel truth, the glorious light of God by His Spirit that will open eyes to truth. And as our Bible has to be involved as we pray, and our Bible has to be involved as part of that equipment, not only protect us from error, but also our Bible has to be the sword of the Spirit so we can use it offensively as well as defensively. Let me give you just four little words that might help you as you take your Bible into your prayer time and begin to use it as a weapon as we battle for the souls of men. Sir Arthur Blackwell, who is a Christian writer, summed up the Christian's relationship to the Bible in four great words. Number one, admit. Admit. Open your whole being to let it be flooded with light. Let the truth in. Study the Bible sympathetically and lovingly. Let it be God's voice to you direct. Admit. Admit it. Give it access. Secondly, submit. Let the truth grip you that it may govern you. Let the plain declarations of God's word be the end of all controversy. Let the plain declarations of God's word be the end of all controversy. Whenever we raise an issue with God, all growth and all blessing must stop until that issue is settled. Where doubt, he's talking about doubt here. Submit to the truth that you've admitted. Believe it. Commit, number three. Grip the truth by hiding it in your heart. Let today's message be articulated to yesterday's, so that a chain is forged that is a veritable anchor to your soul in times of temptation, trouble, and trial. Commit. Grip the truth by hiding it in your heart. Commit it to memory. Remember, Mary treasured these things in her heart. Lay them up. Transmit. Don't be a pool, be a stream. I love that. Don't be a pool. Be a stream. Don't hoard your riches. Share the bounties of the Lord's table with another. Make every truth tenfold your own by passing it on. Missionary A possessed some strawberry plants, which he shared with Missionary B, who came to live beside him. That year, Missionary A's plants were all destroyed by insects, and Missionary B gave back to Missionary A half his plants. So all the plants which Missionary A possessed were what he gave away. I love it. And I tell you, it's true. As you give it away, you receive it back. So the Bible is our first line of defense and also our sword of the Spirit. And as we use those things, then we transfer all that biblical knowledge and principle to what's happening to us in our lives. I remember a very graphic illustration of this surroundedness feeling as we worked with Sitting on the Fence, which is a little play that my street kids that had come to Christ put together for evangelism. And we just made a little fence, literally, sat a kid on it, and I bunched the good guys over here and the bad guys over here, and they all had guitars. And the preacher comes along and he says, oh, I came upon this maiden perched on the fence, etc., etc. Why are you sitting on the fence? And she says, well, I don't want to come down on their side, and I don't want to come down on their side, so I'm sitting on the fence. And he points out that you can't sit on the fence. You're on the bad side if you sit on the fence, because you're not on the good side. And, of course, it's the battle to get her to come down on one of the other sides. Very simple, and we did it with music and drama and skits. Then we took it out. We took it to the malls. We took it downtown Liverpool. We took it where kids were, anywhere kids were, on the beach, on the shore. Then we went up to Glasgow, very, very tough area. Unbelievably tough area, in the shopping mall where there were gang fights and all sorts of things. And we set up our little sitting on the fence thing in the shopping mall. And I well remember the gang coming in, a gang of kids coming in and surrounding our little gal, who is valiantly keeping up her singing as this was happening. And all of us were getting very nervous. And then one of them just walked right up and pushed the fence, and she went right over backwards, hit her head on the fence was like this, and she was up here. And a fight broke out and all of that. And I always remember my well-trained little gal, who'd nearly been knocked out, unconscious, got up. She was so mad. She was so ticked. And she picked up her Bible and swiped this guy right over there. No, Grace, we don't do that. It's not the way. We turn the other cheek. You know. So anyway, from that great start that morning, we went outside to another venue. It was a parking lot where all the motorbike gangs were. And we set up our little fence again, and in the afternoon we started our next outreach. Grace was on the fence again. This time we had another experience. They all got on their motorbikes and they started circling us round and round and round and round. And these were tough, tough cookies. Well, of course, it was no good singing. You couldn't hear because they were revving up their thing. So we just stayed. And then they began circling closer and closer and closer. And we just were sort of pushed and huddled until the team was standing very close. And I remember one of the kids, I can't remember who it was, a boy, got out his Bible and turned to this passage of scripture. And over the din, he shouted to us, "Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Yay, God!" He didn't say yay, God, because he wasn't American, but the equivalent. And so together, we just began to sing the next song, all huddled together, and the motorbike stopped, the gang leader stopped it. And they started to listen. We had one of our best outreach meetings. But I always remember he calmed the sea, he calmed the storm, and he gave us a chance to speak to those kids. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And I saw him use his Bible to fortify himself in that very, very sticky predicament, dangerous predicament.
This is Telling the Truth. And today, Jill Briscoe is talking about how to stand strong in prayer and faith in the midst of the spiritual battle. She's back with more in a moment. When you think of praying, what comes to mind? A list of requests, almost like a Christmas list for God? Crying out when you're hurting? Or a conversation with a close friend? Prayer is all of this, but it's also a lot more. As Jill Briscoe shows you in her book, Prayer That Works, there is power in prayer. She'll help you reframe your prayers to be heartfelt and effective, reigniting a passion for prayer to help you know Christ and experience life in all its fullness. This is a book to change your prayer life. Call 1-800-889-5388 and request it, or request it online at tellingthetruth.org. It's Jill's book, Prayer That Works, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to help keep Tell Me the Truth on the air. Call 1-800-889-5388. Let's hear more now from Jill.
So Satan attacks our prayer life. How? Well, first of all, he attacks our body. He attacks our body. We just find it difficult to get out of bed. We just are lazy. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And always remember, sleep deprivation is better than God deprivation. There is a battle for your body going on. But don't fear those that can kill a body. Fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And that's not the devil. That's God. I always used to think when I read that passage, it meant the devil has that power. No. You read it. And so we fear God who can save us or who can honor our choice not to be saved and allow us to go to destruction. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. He wants to kill the bodies of men. He's also out to destroy the mind. He's also out to destroy the heart. And he will attack us on all these levels. And it's prayer work to narrow our interests to this battle for the souls of men. It really is. You know, we're living in an age that aims to rob religion of its inflammatory torch, someone has said. It's a life on fire which kindles another. There's one thing necessary for every soul, and it's to catch his master's passion. The battle for the heart, our heart for other people, that's what the devil attacks. And he diverts us from this prayer work for the souls of men. I heard a definition of compassion the other day. Your hurt in my heart. Your hurt in my heart. That's compassion. And God will work that in us as we pray. And then there's a battle for our will. We've got to stay on our knees. We've got to stay on the cross, and we've got to stay on the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, if you like. Personal Gethsemane, stay on our knees. Thy will, not mine, be done. Personal Calvary, dying to myself, staying on the cross, taking up my cross and following him. Personal Pentecost, keeping in step with the Spirit, drawing on that power we've been talking about to fight the battle with the weapons that God has given us, the weapons of our warfare. And then going out into battle in prayer to do battle for the souls of men. Let me finish with an illustration again from the war. I bought a video that I watched on PBS this year. It was the story of Dunkirk, and it follows the story of three men that escaped. One of them said it was chance. One of them said it was the brilliance and ingenuity and effort of incredibly brave, brilliant men that made Dunkirk happen. And one of them said it was God. And they kept weaving the stories of these three men in and out it. This is a fascinating video. But the thing that struck me when I was thinking of an illustration to end this talk was it's such a marvelous illustration. You know, the whole of the British Army was on that Dunkirk beachhead. We didn't have one soldier left in Britain. And as you know, the story, we were retreating. We were beaten at that point. And the German forces hemmed us in on Dunkirk. So the entire British Army was sitting ducks out on the beaches. And Hitler said, "We got them. All we have to do is just keep sending the planes over with bombs and strafe them and just wipe them out. They can't go anywhere. They've got their backs to the water." Meanwhile, Churchill called a day of prayer in England, and England went to its knees. The only time, I think, ever, that every man, woman, and child was kneeling on the concrete outside church buildings because you couldn't get in them. And I remember that day. I remember my mother taking me to see that down the road. And kneeling myself with my mother on the pavement. And you can only attribute this to God and the answer to that prayer, that Hitler had a twist of mind and decided to wait and regroup and retool his army that was about to annihilate us. And it gave us breathing space. But he did send legions of planes and bombs just to keep us, start chipping away at it while everybody else had some R&R, believe it or not, R&R, before they did us in, which gave us space. And a man had a divine idea, and he called up every single man and woman along the coast to bring any boat that they possessed or had access to a certain venue on the coast, to bring their boats. It didn't matter if it was a rowboat, it didn't matter if it was a little cabin cruiser or a sailboat or a bigger boat or a tug or a passenger boat. Anybody with a boat or access to bring them. And so there was this great call went out for boats. And of course they came, every type and shape imaginable. And a great big tug got them all in a line. And one of those pictures I went back to look at, in fact I was looking for it last night and couldn't find it, very late. It's in my mind, is this tugboat with these hundreds of boats as he takes them out into deep water, ready to send them over to Dunkirk, with their owners driving them, their little sail hats on, you know. And they went and they rescued, as you know, 250,000 men under the bombs and under the strafing. And the story is absolutely incredible. And as I thought about that miracle story, I thought, you know, prayer is the vehicle that takes us into enemy territory to rescue souls from destruction. And you've got to believe you've got a boat. You are a boat. All different shapes and sizes. Some of us big, some of us small. All our capacity is different for rescue. But we've all got a boat. And that vehicle that is us, this boat vehicle and prayer, can go into the enemy territory. And if you do, you're going to get bombed and you're going to get blasted. out of the water, perhaps. And there's going to be casualties. Because you cannot take on the devil, even though we know the victory is won. There's no war without casualties. You cannot take him on and be exempt from all of that. I also know that there were some people along the coast of England that didn't go, that had a boat. And for all sorts of reasons, I would think pretty obvious ones. It was sort of going to certain death, probably, although it didn't turn out like that for everybody. Or maybe they just wanted to use their boat for pleasure. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't go. Maybe they were too old, infirm, scared, or pleasure-seeking. But enough went. Nearly every boat went in order to do this work. And a great, great victory was won. So that's the challenge. We've got a spiritual Dunkirk on our hands. And there are people who are bound for destruction. And the enemy is blasting them to bits. And they have absolutely, they're helpless. But we can go in prayer with our little boats. And we can rescue one, or two, or three, depending on the capacity of the boat, and bring them safe home, if we will.
Jill Briscoe wrapping up her series, Prayer That Works. Coming up, she answers questions about re-engaging if you've just stopped fighting and the importance of fighting with your sword well. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But now you can use your phone to make a spiritual connection with the free Telling the Truth mobile app. Hear daily programs, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. And now, let's talk with Jill in the studio. Jill, what happens when a Christian gets tired and stops fighting the enemy? How do they re-engage?
Re-engage. I can't tell you how, but just do it. Just do it. You say, I can't, I'm just tired fighting. Well, fight when you're tired. Fight when you don't think you can fight anymore. God promises when you think you are out, you've only just begun. And he will give you extra strength to fight to the end. He promises that. He has also overcome the final enemy, which is death. He's already overcome him. And so in his victory, in his power, in his promises, you can stand.
Jill, you mentioned today that it's important for us as Christians to memorize scripture. Do you have any particular passages you would say are crucial for believers to recall in times of spiritual battle?
I would say the whole Bible. There have been verses in the most obscure parts of the Bible that have been the instrument I've needed to fight the battle at times. From Malachi. Now, would you find some help in Malachi? Yes. From places that I would never have dreamed of going for help. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable not only for doctrine, but for encouragement, for help in times of need. That's what the Bible claims about itself. You can go anywhere in the scriptures and the Holy Spirit can take the word and encourage you or give you strength or give you an idea or give you help. I think it's very important to memorize scripture. Have a look at navigators. They have a system where you can learn scripture verses. I was very fortunate to be given a little packet of verses on the day I was saved, and I was told to memorize them. I had nothing else to do but lie there and get well. So I had all the time in the world, I was told, to memorize these 40 or 50 little cards with scripture written on them and their reference. To this day, I did the whole course, 500 verses. I still remember those verses. So look at navigators or something else that helps you to memorize scripture and start today.
Thanks, Jill. Before we leave, remember that God wants a relationship with you, and that includes conversation, prayer. If you've ever been weary in your prayer life or wished someone could just show you how to pray, Jill Briscoe has written a fantastic book called Prayer That Works. She helps you discover how to put an end to ineffective praying and to persevere even when your prayers feel unanswered. So call today to request your copy of Prayer That Works. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air and online to help you and others know Christ and experience life in all of its fullness. The number to call, 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. And you can also give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Next week, Pete starts a series asking not what would Jesus do, but instead, what will Jesus do? And specifically, what will Jesus do through you if you'll let go and rely on him completely? Experience life Monday here on Telling the Truth.